Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and this week I am pleased to have back Vicki McAfee. She is a clinical herbalist and nutritionist, has a Gypsy's Whimsy, which is a wonderful store in downtown Astoria. Welcome back, Vicki.
Hi, Ann.
Okay, so it's been a while. So our topic today is vitamin D, and I guess we should just start with, unlike other vitamins, it's not a vitamin. It is, well, it's very complex. It is a hormone. We make it. That's the difference between a hormone and a vitamin. And yet, most of us don't get enough.
Well, they've according to the studies, if you live north of the 37 degree latitude, so you think of, for our area, San Francisco up, the sunlight in the winter months is not sufficient to create enough vitamin D. Now, of course, you're going to create vitamin D on your skin if you're out in the sun at any point. But the thing is, it's not enough for it to be therapeutic or for us to store.
Okay. Yes. What I found was, if you are naked, or the majority of your body is exposed to the skin for about 30 minutes a day, you could probably get enough vitamin D.
Right.
But, okay, but you need some ultraviolet light.
Yeah, well, UVB rays, right. And you can't sit in a sunspot in your living room with the sun coming through the window because of the windows block the UVB rays.
Right, so that doesn't work. And then, you know, yesterday I was out running outside, but the only part of me that was exposed to the sun were my hands and my face and my head.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, I mean, as warm as it was, I still had on long stretch pants because I didn't want to be cold, and I had on a sweatshirt.
But also, it's because of where we live. According to the research that I've been reading, they were saying that if the Pacific, someone in the Pacific Northwest, let's take a roofer, for example, mm-hmm. if they worked all day long in the sun all summer long, without a shirt, that they would not make enough vitamin D to store in their body to get them through winter because of where we live. So what we're going to talk about, there's so many different things that vitamin D has been linked to and so many studies that's in its infancy, that the way I look at it is you might as well at least get some vitamin D. And I mean, I've got food sources written down, and we could talk about
That sounds good. Okay, so vitamin D is a hormone that's made from cholesterol. And so we should kind of start with that. You know, we've been messing with cholesterol levels and for the last, 10 years. And we've seen an explosion of certain diseases.
Right.
There's a possible connection.
Well, according to some of the research, that there's a group of doctors called the Vitamin D Council, and they are, in fact, you can go to vitamindcouncil.org and read a lot of information, a lot of research, because there's research that's being done all over the world and has been done for the at least last 5 years. And the way they look at it is, it's just in its infancy, and they really don't project results to be complete until at least 10 years away.
Right.
And so according to them, vitamin D deficiency is a major factor in the pathology of at least 17 varieties of cancer. They're saying there's a link between vitamin D deficiency, heart disease, stroke, hypertension, diabetes, autoimmune diseases. And of course, when you look at those, you think about, well, that's really been on the rise in the last 10 years or so. they're saying, I don't know if they're biased or not, but they're saying they feel that it's a link between the sunscreen industry telling us to get out of the sun and to slather sunscreen all over ourselves and all of these vitamin D deficiencies showing up. Mm-hmm. One way you can look at it is depression. A lot of people get depressed when the sun isn't out. And so it's definitely a pre-hormone that helps with getting, probably raising our dopamine and serotonin and making us happier.
You know, I didn't see any, although I was looking in the toxicity end of things. Are there studies linking increased vitamin D levels and happiness or reduction in depression?
Yes, there's quite a few studies out there in their infancy, of course, you know, but I ran across some studies that have made it into medical journals. And it's just, there's, even on TV yesterday, they had a little deal on the news about vitamin D and cancer, about how they actually are reducing cancer in petri dishes, of course, and in lab rats. And they had breast cancer cells in a petri dish, and they added vitamin D directly in there. And the more vitamin D they added to it, the more cancer cells it literally killed. Wow. It just, and that was on TV yesterday. I mean, this is just, we're just barely getting into
right.
it.
Well, there's quite a bit of research published about retarding prostate cancer,
right.
which I think is one of the number one killers of men, mm-hmm. With vitamin D, and have found the same thing, that higher levels could retard the lethalness of prostate cancer by many years.
Yeah. Yeah. There was, let's see, I've got cancer. It is believed that activated vitamin D, activated is what our body makes from the sun or from a B3 supplement, which is something else we need to talk about in a second. It helps to protect cells from cancer, helps repair cells that may be mutating with cancer, helps slow the proliferation of cancer cells that may be present, and is believed to interfere with tumors as they build blood vessels to feed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it, the way I look at it is, you know, better safe than sorry.
Of course, a lot of medical doctors are now recommending people take, you know, amounts that a few years ago would have been shocking.
Exactly.
And it's hard to say. I mean, I decided to be a guinea pig this winter to up my vitamin D to a very large amount, and 5,000 IUs a day. And I'm being a guinea pig. I don't know if that's safe, but I do know that I've gotten through this winter feeling marvelous.
Yeah.
And so
right.
And of course, now I also sit with a light every morning for at least a half an hour right in my face. And so it's not the only thing I'm doing. But one of the things that started me on this was in my list of, or my Yahoo group of doctors who talk every day, one of the doctors talked about that he had gotten his very long-standing depression lifted by high levels of vitamin D daily. And I got to thinking, I'm not depressed, but in the winter, I get really moody.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, maybe I could experiment with that. And I think it's been awesome. And I don't know what I'll do when there's more sun.
Well, my experiment with it is 4,000 IUs a day. And mine was just because of there's so many people that come into my shop, because it's an herbal apothecary, that are so ill, which I'm sure you see quite a few. Yeah. Anyway, incredible studies done by a medical doctor on influenza and vitamin D. And so I thought, because every year I have to fight something off every year, even with the supplements and everything I take. But this year, nothing. It was just amazing.
Okay, same with me.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Now, the NIH published a very extensive paper this year discussing the link between vitamin D levels and flu outbreaks. And their theory is that we get sick in the winter and it spreads through populations of schools and workplaces because of low vitamin D levels, not because of crowded conditions, staying inside or whatever, you know, or whatever the, well, staying inside, yes. But somehow people think that being cold makes them sick, and it may not be the case.
Right, right.
And what's so exciting is it's available.
It's available.
It's cheap.
One thing that I find really fascinating is, okay, you know, calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, vitamin D make it building bones.
Mm-hmm.
According to some of the research that I was reading, they say that since we're such a calcium excessive nation, even though the milk industry would want us to believe differently, that if you're not taking sufficient amount of vitamin D, you're not able to break down the calcium or to get it into your bones. So if you don't do that, then of course your body has to just try to do something with the calcium, whether it's just throwing it into joints or. But the thing I find fascinating is that osteomalacia is adult rickets. And so, excuse me, in rickets, we already know that's from a vitamin D deficiency. So in osteomalacia, when the bones rebuild, they do not harden as they should, resulting in softer bones. It's characterized by deep, gnawing pain in the muscles and in the bones. Some people who have vitamin D deficiency could actually be people that are diagnosed with fibromyalgia. Think about that. And arthritis and chronic pain, chronic fatigue syndrome. So to me, that is almost muscle wasting, and pain is one of the things of a symptom of vitamin D deficiency. And so is it because people are walking around with osteomalacia that they don't know they have?
Because nobody's diagnosing it anymore.
Right.
Right. We're all on these other things. I mean, you only see what you look for.
Right.
I mean, all of us, we're blind in the other areas.
So one thing about vitamin D you need to know, when, and we can, on the second half of the program, talk about testing and recommended doses. But one thing you need to know is that people with dark skin, they need more vitamin D because the melanoma is keeping the sun from...
Melanin,
yeah, not melanin, excuse me. Yeah, is keeping their skin from making as much vitamin D. In fact, think about if you believe in certain types of history, we supposedly, mankind was born at the equator naked and black, dark. Mm-hmm. And then so some people think that as you get further away from the equator, people became lighter and lighter in color. And also vitamin D is, it's a hormone, a pre-hormone that our body makes. And so that just tells you that we should be out in the sun. And they're saying that in order, when you're out in the sun and you're making vitamin D in your body, by the time you turn pink, you've actually made all that you need to make.
So once you're burned, you've overdone it. And you don't want to burn.
Right. You don't want to burn, but at the same time, they're finding that vitamin D is kind of like a sunscreen in a way. But after you get to a certain amount in your body and you get beyond the pink stage, then your body actually starts to destroy the excessive vitamin D. So that way, your body doesn't become toxic with vitamin D. But when you're supplementing, that's totally different, and your body can't filter it out.
Right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about dosage, types of vitamin D, food sources, and entertain any questions you have. I'm Ann Goldine, and I'm with herbalist and nutritionist Vicki McAfee, and we're talking about vitamin D and the sun and the not sun. And okay, so there are two sources of vitamin D, or there's two ways that it shows up, D2 and D3.
Right. Well, D2, that is from plants. Mm-hmm. That's what vegans seem to go for. It is produced in plants and mushrooms when exposed to sunlight. But most of the vitamin D2 supplements out there, and believe me, there's very few out there. Most of them are synthetic, and they find that plant-based vitamin D is less effective in humans than
I think
tea tree.
It's a difficult conversion because like all it's really a pre-vitamin has to be converted. A lot of people who have deficiency problems aren't very good at doing any kind of conversion. Forget it. You know, you need things in the form, the D3 form, which is the pre-made form, ready to go.
Right.
You don't have to work on it.
Right. Well, they're also finding that D2 in high enough doses, or as high of a dose as you would D3 to get you out of deficiency, is very toxic.
Uh-huh. So we want to stay, we're recommending that we stay away from the D2 forms.
Right. Now, the vitamin D3 supplements, they're manufactured from the fat of lamb's wool by purifying the fat and extracting the D3, or it's made from fish oils.
Uh-huh.
So vegans, they want to stay away from it. But so D3 is naturally produced in humans and animals when sunlight hits the skin, fur, mm-hmm. or feathers. And I think that's just so fascinating that a bird can make vitamin D3 through its feathers.
Feathers. Uh-huh. Oh, that is so awesome. Okay, so let's talk about food sources of...
Okay, so food sources... which you would think of would be fatty wild fish, fish liver oils, fortified milk, orange juice, and cereal, dried shiitake mushrooms.
Yay.
Yeah, egg yolks.
Ooh-hoo.
And beef liver.
Okay. What about other livers? Wouldn't you think any liver?
Probably any liver.
Okay.
Yeah. But according to new research,
uh-huh.
to get adequate amounts of vitamin D3, you'd have to eat at least 5 servings of salmon a day or drink 10 to 20 cups of milk.
Okay, that doesn't sound very realistic.
No, it doesn't. So you think, okay, well, how about cod liver oil? It's so full of vitamin D.
Right.
Well, if you're very deficient in, which we need to talk more about, especially with testing for mm-hmm. that, but if you're very deficient, if you take the international units that you need to get up to where you should be, then you're going to have way too much vitamin A, and it's very uh-huh. toxic.
So cod liver oil is probably not your best source, but there's so many other sources out there now.
Yeah.
Okay, we had a caller who called asking about a long-standing history with hepatitis C. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a chronic liver problem.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I know the answer to this question. What does taking vitamin D at the levels we're talking about, 2,000, 4,000, 5,000, I use a day, possible problems, or maybe helping?
Well, this is from the vitamin D research paper, or the part of the vitamindcouncil.org,
mm-hmm.
and they say liver function. Diseases of the liver can impact the metabolism of vitamin D to its circulating form, which is the active form that
mm-hmm.
we need.
Mm-hmm. So they might be more likely to be deficient than people with a normal functioning liver.
Right, right. But it says that they believe that that vitamin D protects liver cells, and that it may play a crucial role in inhibition of bile acid synthesis. And so I guess it has to do with the bile, which, you know, that makes sense. The bile, that's what breaks down your fat in your body, and vitamin D being a fatty pre-hormone. Yeah, so...
It sounds like it would be protective of your liver.
Right.
And help your liver work better and protect... It said protect liver cells, so potentially
right.
it is. You probably want to work with your doctor on this.
Of course.
And coming up with amounts.
Right.
Okay, so let's see.
So speaking of working with your doctor...
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, and we can talk about the lab.
Okay, lab testing. Your doctor can order blood tests for you to see where your levels are. In fact, I've had several doctors send people over to my shop to get very high doses of vitamin D, because I even have some that are 10,000 IUs in pill form. But I don't recommend anyone take high doses of D3 or D2 without being tested.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be tested.
Okay, so now what is the test?
Okay, so the test is what they do is they measure the amount of the activated vitamin D that's in your blood. So it's
we're
a
talking
blood test.
About it's a blood test of D3.
Of D3.
So the doctor has to order a D3 test.
Yeah, and so the name of the test is 25 hydroxy vitamin D test.
Okay.
25-OH vitamin D, and it's because of that is the thing that they need to test.
The active form.
Yeah, the active form. There is another test out there that isn't reliable. In fact, a lot of times it'll show that you're really deficient when you're really not.
And do you know what the name of that one is?
It's here in all this paperwork. But
okay.
But so if you ask for 25-hydroxy. Vitamin D test.
Okay.
So, anyway,
you need to be fasting for this test or not fasting?
Non-fasting.
Okay. I wouldn't think it would matter, but
yeah.
Some tests, it's very important to be fasting.
So, the levels of vitamin D are measured in nanograms per milliliter.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is, anyway.
That's teeny.
Yeah. So if you get tested and you have less than 10 of the nanograms per milliliter,
mm-hmm.
that shows you have a severe deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
10 to 20 NGMLs shows there's a deficiency. The optimum for the testing, the optimum levels you need in your body are between 50 and 80. If you have over 100, it's an overdose, and 150, it's toxic.
Okay, and so a lot of times people have lab work done and they never see this stuff.
Right.
They get a call or a little note saying you're fine. And so it might behoove people to actually see this. Now every lab uses their own system of measuring and analysis, and your lab that your doctor uses may be different, may have different
right.
units than this, and they will all have deficiency, optimal, and toxicity and overdose levels.
Right.
They just might not sound like those numbers. So don't be alarmed. You just need to look at the units. And I'd recommend if you're having a test, get the results yourself and look at them.
Well, I recommend that for everything. Everybody should have a file at home on their health. And every test, everything that ever happens to you, your doctor should make a copy so you have it in your file. It's just...
Right. And you can watch it over time. Okay,
yeah.
So if you have a test and you're low and then you take vitamin D, when would be a reasonable amount of time to wait for a follow-up? 3 months?
3 months. How much you need varies with age, your body weight, percentage of body fat, the latitude, skin coloration, season of the year, use of sunblock, sun exposure, how ill you are. They find that people that are in these studies that they're doing, people that are sick,
mm-hmm.
the body just uses the vitamin D up fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so it all depends, and that's, it all depends on... On that, they suggest, and this is
the Vitamin D Council.
The Vitamin D Council.
Mm-hmm.
They suggest if you have little UVB exposure to start supplementing before the blood test, then adjust your dose to the level to get it to the 50 to 80. If you do the test before you start taking the supplements, then you'll need another test 2 to 3 months afterwards to see if you're reaching that goal or becoming toxic or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so they suggest that healthy children under 1 year of age take 1,000 IUs per day. Now, this is to if you're deficient, if you're extremely deficient. Over age one, 1,000 IUs per every 25 pounds of body fat. Body weight, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, this is way, way more than the recommended dietary
mm-hmm.
allowance that was put together just to keep you from getting rickets.
And pretty much everything else in the world of vitamin and nutrition has found that optimal levels are always way more than the recommended daily amounts or the RDA.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this has really lagged behind the rest of nutrition.
Right.
I mean, even they got vitamin C up there, too, a little more.
Yeah, that's true. So with your doctor's guidance, some patients are actually taking 10,000 IUs daily because they're so deficient, but
mm-hmm.
they're also being tested
mm-hmm.
a lot more than after 2 to 3 months.
Now, if people don't have health insurance and they want to have a test, there are options that don't require an office visit.
Right. There's They're online. You can go to www.zrtlab.com. And so you can order a retail, they call it a retail price home test kit for $75.
Okay. And then what? Is it blood?
It's a blood test. And it's a dot. It's a drop. You know, it's a.
Oh, it's a drop of blood. Okay. Yeah, you don't have to do a venipuncture.
No. Yeah. And you're, but they will take, they will send your test results to a healthcare provider. So
they don't send them to you?
They won't send them directly to you because of it needs to be a healthcare provider.
Needs to look at them.
Yeah. I used to use ZRT Lab 6 years ago, and I've just contacted them and asked them to please put me back on their list and start sending me these kits. So maybe, you know, I can at least have something to offer people if they need to. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much the test kit would be. I haven't got my packet back yet.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that's an option.
It is an option.
And, you know, any lab that any doctor uses does it. Dr. Erfling orders it
right
routinely out of our office.
Right.
So that is something that people can do, can look at. And, you know, obviously, that's the next thing I need to do is see what my levels have been. Because all winter, I've been taking 5,000 IUs a day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I miss days. Of taking the 4,000. I probably do that about 4 days out of the week. But normally I take 2,000 international units anyway.
Okay, now one of the things that you mentioned earlier was B3 and said we'd come back to taking B3.
Oh, D3, sorry. Yeah.
Oh, you said B.
I might have.
Okay, you made a boo-boo.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that people can just take, you know, keep their eyes open, keep their options open. If they have health problems, look at this, talk with their doctor, read, see what's out there, see if there's something that might help them in this regard.
Right, and according to there's a book too that if you want it to go to, you want it to read it. It's called The Vitamin D Revolution, and it's by a medical doctor. His name is Saram Khalsa. Khalsa, but Vitamin D Revolution. It's really, really fascinating, and it's his practice and what he's doing with vitamin D.
Is he in the United States?
He is in the United States. Mm-hmm. He is India born, mm-hmm. but like I said, a lot of the testing is being done. A lot of testing is being done in India, and they're finding people in India because of they're totally covered up out of the sun are actually vitamin D deficient. It's crazy. You know, you think with all that sunlight, mm-hmm. but they're completely covered.
Right, because it's hot and the tradition is to do that.
Right.
All right. Well, if you want any more questions, give us a call or answers. We'll take them off the air at 325-0010. This has been To Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine, and I've been with nutritionist and herbalist Vicki McAfee. Thank you very much for being here, Vicki.
Thank you, Ann, for having me.
It's been a blast. Bob is here with all kinds of folk. We've got some BBC headline news, great programming all day. Coming up next week, Dig in the Dirt returns with Bob and Diane Stockhouse from the Stockhouse Farm on Puget Island. They're going to be talking about the Wakiakum Food and Farm Network Summit. Talk about food and the growing season, what's happening. And the next 3 months, I've got all kinds of exciting things with Rain Gardens, the author of the book Spark. I've got all kinds of cool stuff. Thanatology. We're going to learn all kinds of stuff over the next 3 months. It's going to be a blast. See you then.
Hello, I'm Rosa.